Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Wendy.
And I'm Penny.
And I'm Daphne.
And this is Yellow Jackets WTF, episode 42.
In this episode, we're discussing the season 3 teaser trailer and a little bit of other Yellow Jackets news.
If you are trying to avoid spoilers about casting and other things that have been out there in the news, you may not want to listen to this episode because we will be talking about we may have a pretty detailed breakdown of the teaser trailer.
Yes.
And there are just some other things we're going to talk about. So this episode may not be for you. But if you like digging into trailers and talking about photos and other casting stuff, then this may be the episode for you, because we're going to break it all down.
I have some questions. Do you think that we'll get other trailers before February 14th?
Absolutely.
Me too, yeah.
I didn't think about that before.
I think so, because that's a lot of time between now and then, and they're going to want to make sure to build some hype.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be at least one more trailer that shows a few more tantalizing tidbits of season 3.
Yeah. So we may have to come back and do a mini episode on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If more comes out. But it's been a couple of weeks since they released this trailer, and I feel like there were a lot of videos released on YouTube talking about it, but I kind of needed to internalize it for a bit and, you know, watch it and really pay attention to some of the subtle things that were in it before we could actually talk about it.
Yeah. And also, I feel like the holidays have been so cuckoo crazy for everybody that it was good to take a little time and let things settle down. And here we are after Christmas recording when all of us have a little bit of time.
Yep.
Definitely.
Where should we start?
Well, maybe we should mention that season 3 does premiere with 2 new episodes on Valentine's Day on streaming and on demand for Paramount Plus with Showtime subscribers. It will debut on Showtime on Sunday, February 16th. So that's not that far away.
I love that it's on Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Such romantic plans for Valentine's Day. I'm just going to wrap myself in things with a heart print and some roses and settle in for some gruesome cannibalism. It's going to be awesome.
I thought it was quite funny that the slogan for one of the little campaigns releasing the date said, "Eat your heart out."
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Like, we could see that. I mean, we've seen it before, so that's not really anything new.
I loved in the trailer that it said, "The past will come back to hunt you."
Yeah.
Hilarious. Nice play on haunt.
Yeah.
Well, we did at the end of last season get kind of a hunt.
Yeah,
abbreviated. In the woods. Yeah. So, I mean, is it going to happen again? I don't know. I don't think this trailer showed us something in the future where hunting was going on, really. A lot of it had to do with
the past. I might disagree with you.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's why we're
again,
here.
It's all about, like, everything we see in a trailer, we don't have a lot of context.
Mm-mm.
It could be, you know, this series is known for sometimes having visions.
Mm-hmm.
So some of what we saw could be visions.
And they play with our expectations. Mm-hmm. They love to show us things that look one way, and then in context, it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love. I love the mind games that they play not only within the show, like between the characters, but with the audience. It's part of the experience for me, is being like led astray by those showrunners. I love it.
Yeah. So at the beginning of this trailer, we're getting this voiceover that just says, once upon a time, a bunch of teenage girls got stranded in the wilderness and they went completely nuts.
That's a very brief synopsis.
Yeah, it's perfect. And that first scene, we're kind of getting them running through the woods, and it looks like it's much warmer.
Yeah, everything's green, and they're wearing lighter weight clothes. So it's spring or summer.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it looks like they're chasing Mari, because she is stopping and looking around. And I'm wondering, are they just showing us that it looks like they're chasing Mari, or is she stopping and looking around because she's trying to find who they're chasing?
Or is she being hunted? Because she's also alone and the rest of them are in a group.
Yes.
But I think those are two different scenes, and she's in that group.
It's hard to tell because we see them from the back.
And also when they're all jumping up and down happily together, she's in that group too, wearing the mm-hmm. same outfit.
Oh, she's in that group? I couldn't tell who all was in that group.
And she's got the same shirt on. Not that that means anything.
Right, because they all trade clothes around.
Right. Yes. But it looks like she's got the same shirt on. And that was my question for you, Daphne, was that when she is like walking through the woods and looking intense and scared and kind of looking around like something's out there, to me, that was very reminiscent of the very first cold open scene.
Yes.
That we've come to lovingly refer to as Pit Girl scene.
I know. And if you think about that, that would take us away from thinking that Mari would be Pit Girl. Because
if she gets killed in the summer, she's not killed in the winter.
Right.
Right.
So.
But it could be this is before that. And
or
that's
after.
Coming up.
Yeah.
Or after, right.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
It's interesting. And they use the juxtaposition. They say, you know, in that scene, that's when we get the past will come back to hunt you. And then it cuts from Mari being scared and looking around in the woods to a fur face mask. So you think at first, oh, that's the person hunting her, right? It's connected. But the fur face mask is in winter. There's snow on the trees behind that person. So those are unconnected scenes that they shove together to confuse us.
And based on the hair that's poking out over the top of that mask,
it's misty. That's what I actually wrote Misty in a fur face mask, and then when I went back the second time, I'm like, wait, how do I know who that is? But it looked like Misty.
That was her mask in the original trailer.
Remember
when she was the only one who lifts up the mask?
Yes,
that was her mask, was that creepy fur mask. So
that same Pit Girl scene that we're talking about, that was Misty that lifted up. So they're gonna get to that point. And there were other scenes in this trailer that show them kind of the evolution of that whole the white outfits and the fur. Because later on in the trailer, there's just the scene where Lottie's in the middle and they're circling her.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wearing
where did they
these
get all those white outfits from? There's no place in the woods where they would find like white fabric.
Maybe they killed a lot of white bunnies. I don't know.
I don't know, because it doesn't look like they sewed a lot of things together to make those. It looks like they're sheets of things.
Yeah.
There's a point later that they show us a clip of Natalie on the airplane. So I'm wondering if maybe someone had bulk bought fabric before the trip to the West Coast and stored it on there. I don't know. I don't think that's it. I'm just throwing it out there to be funny.
Yeah. There's probably more useful stuff on that plane that they're going to have to scavenge.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of season two, the cabin has been burned down and they are without shelter in the winter. The most logical place for them to go immediately is the plane to get some shelter, but it's a hike from the cabin. And they're away from like fresh water and stuff by the plane. So that's not a long-term sustainable place for them to live, but they're going to have to tear that plane apart for like parts in order to build a new home, I assume.
There were a couple scenes in this trailer where you can see some kind of hut or shelter that's been built. I'll just keep going on. We see Shauna, and do you know the name of the girl that's with Shauna?
Alyssa. I had to look it up.
Melissa. Yeah, Melissa. It's Melissa. Okay. Because we see her another point in the trailer, too. Mm-hmm.
And they're together. Shauna says, I can't believe we didn't eat them first. And you can just barely see the corner of what looks like some kind of homemade shelter of sticks and branches.
That could be the meat locker that they made in season two.
It could be. I sort of thought that was attached to the cabin, but I could be wrong.
I think it was just near, really close to the cabin. Okay. So it might not have burned down. If it was far enough away.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the trailer, I'll just skip a little bit ahead. It's 36 seconds in, and Van and Ty are like weirdly kissing. Adult Van and adult Ty are in some dark alley or something kissing. And then there's a shot in what looks like the same alley of this like mysterious figure in a suit that looks to me like the same figure that you can see in the opening credits in one scene with like a sort of creepy zombie-ish death mask, like white creepy face and
no eyes,
long straight hair, and that Ty sees from time to time, this like man with no eyes. And so that person has been in the woods, and then we see them in that alley. I assume it's Ty that sees them, sees it, him. Her. It's hard to tell what to call
it. I thought
it
was a woman.
And there's also a scene in the credits where there's a like a silhouetted figure with the same hairstyle up at the top of a hill, like silhouetted against the light. And we've never known who that was. And I've always had this theory that they're not alone in the woods, that there's somebody else out there. And I wonder if it's this creepy person.
Yeah. I also wondered if it was Hillary Swank.
Yeah. We don't know who the Hillary Swank character is.
Right.
They're sort of implying that it's adult Melissa, but we have no real basis for that. She could also be a completely unrelated character who has come into the story. Right. Or she could be what's
adult
his name?
Mary,
sister
maybe.
Or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's so many people that she could be.
Yeah.
And we do get Hillary Swank at the end of the trailer. It looks like she's bloody and injured. She's standing in this roadway beside her van, and she says, "Oh shit!" And she turns around and runs away from someone,
something.
So yeah, it's not been determined like who her character is. Like they have not given us any info. And you know what? I'm glad. Yeah. I don't want to know.
I want to be surprised. By that.
Yeah. But I'm thinking Mary or Melissa would be the most likely, but we know it might not be likely.
She doesn't look enough like Mari to be Mari's adult version, but Melissa, she does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's also just amazing casting. They, once again, like they pull these iconic people from the 90s and give them to us as cast members. And it just makes me love the show so much.
I'm excited.
It reminds me of like 90s and turn of the millennial stuff.
I'm really excited because they do put so much thought into who they're inviting to be part of the show. And I know that there are a lot of actors and actresses that are fans of the show that would love to be part of it, but they're so careful to just bring in the people that I think are going to have the biggest impact.
And they're such good actors. It's the quality of acting on this show is one of the most consistent parts of it, is that it's always so, so good. You know who we didn't see in the trailer is Jeff, and I find myself missing him. I'm like, oh, where's Jeff?
Yeah.
I would like to see Jeff. How's he handling things these days?
Well, we'll talk a little bit about some photos that were released for the season, and he is in one of those photos.
Oh, so, I missed that. Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, he is in one of those pictures, so we'll be able to talk about that.
And let's see, what else do we have? We see, so the group that is jumping happily together, because I do feel like this is going to be an us versus them season, is, I thought, Lottie, Van, Mary, Misty, and Akila. Is that what you thought as well?
I didn't think that was Mari. I thought it was Jen.
And they did.
I could absolutely be wrong.
Jen has been recast for this year.
Mm-hmm. That's why I thought it was Jen, because I was like, that kind of looks like Jen, but kind of doesn't. So if it's the new actor, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mari is in that scene, but she's behind. I didn't think Lottie was in it. I didn't think it was Lottie.
I saw could Nat, have been maybe Nat was in it.
Yeah.
Nat was in the forefront of it, right, though. She wasn't with the group.
She was, in the top-down shot, I don't think she was in, but in the forward-facing shot, she was right. I mean, she was right there.
Right. And then we see Coach Ben trudging along, and he comes across what appears to be like a wire snare trap.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, is this a trap that the girls are laying, or he's laying for animals, or is it a message for him?
Yeah,
or a trap for him?
I do wonder about that. There's another part later in the trailer that shows him in his lair, the Javi lair, basically, and it looks like it's Natalie who's kind of crawling in or going through the entrance to get in there. Natalie looks different because we're used to her with all the blonde hair, and
now she has dark hair.
Now she has dark hair because, of course, her hair is growing out and the bleach part is further down.
Which is actually just going to make her look more cool, honestly. Mm-hmm.
I think so. Yeah.
The one thing that I thought was really interesting about the trailer, which I liked it a lot, was it starts out by having these big chunks of time. And I say this all relatively. The trailer is a minute and 11 seconds or something. Yeah, so it starts off with these big chunks of time, a big chunk of time in the past timeline, and then a big chunk of time in the present timeline, and then a smaller, and it keeps bouncing back and forth until it's whipping back and forth between timelines. And I thought that was really cool.
It builds stress and tension and momentum, right? It was like, and by the end, the shots were like milliseconds. It was like, boom, 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 boom.
Right. Even on quarter speed on YouTube, you could barely keep track.
I paused and paused and paused. It was really hard to do because they do a lot of quick cuts.
Yes.
And I watched the trailer through without sound, which really helped because the sound is so distracting. Like when they're saying like, it comes back to hunt you, or, you know, just all of the voiceover parts were distracting from what the images were. And it helped me to separate the two things.
Yeah, there were so many quick shots at the end, many quick shots at the end, and trying to get, you know, a still frame of what's happening.
I don't have the right equipment. Maybe if I put it into a video editor, I could better isolate the frames or something. I haven't tried that before.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We also saw Jackie. There was a scene of Jackie sitting in what looked to me like a restaurant freezer, like one of those walk-in freezers.
That's what it looked like to me too.
Yeah.
And I assume, I mean, it's ghost Jackie haunting, I assume, Shauna. It's always Shauna that sees Jackie.
Right. The next scene is Shauna, and that looked like the same scene.
Yeah, the same room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Callie picks up a letter from a porch, and then she says, "I want to know what happened out there." And there's a lot of scenes of Misty, like, looking at a piece of paper. She's, like, mm-hmm. shining a flashlight through it. I guess she's trying to figure out where it came from. The envelope said Shauna Shipman on it, and it had the symbol on it.
Yep.
So it's, you know, it's related to what happened in the woods. And then Shauna says, "Somebody wants to kill us," and that's in the modern timeline. So it's still, you know, we know it's not Jeff anymore sending that letter. Right? Because Jeff and Shauna are now honest with each other about everything, as far as we know. And he's done with this whole blackmail thing that he was doing. So who is sending this letter?
Right. And over all of those scenes, we have young Ty stating, "This place will follow us for the rest of our lives."
Mm-hmm.
Which is an interesting thing for her to say back in the woods, because at that point, you know, they've been out there for, like, I don't know, almost a year. For her to think that they even have the rest of their lives, like, do they still think that they're going to get rescued at some point? I feel like if I had been out in the woods for a year like that and had reverted to cannibalism, I would stop even thinking about the concept of a future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'd be so dissociated from the real world at that point. Maybe Ty is stronger than me.
We may talk about what our hopes are for this season at the end, but one of my hopes is that we get to see a little bit more of what it was like for them to reacclimate to society after everything that happened in the woods.
Yeah, I really want to see that stuff.
Because it's getting more and more extreme. The things that happened, like, as we mentioned earlier, I can't believe we didn't eat that bitch first, because that's kind of what she was saying.
Yeah.
Right. That shows you that it's become part of your normal life, that you're now joking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a part where there's, like, a gavel that falls and Shauna tells Natalie, "You're not in charge anymore."
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if
it's the power struggle.
It
and
is.
It looks like it's going to be Shauna versus Nat.
Yes. And remember, I think Shauna thought that she was going to be named the leader.
Yeah. Shauna has a real problem with, and we see this even in the, like, before they're lost in the woods timeline, of being like, why doesn't anyone ever pick me? That's why she, you know, slept with her best friend's boyfriend, is like, she feels like people are constantly overlooking her specialness, and mm-hmm. And she's passive aggressive about how she deals with it. At least young Shauna. Old Shauna, she has different issues. But young Shauna is like, everyone should recognize how great I am. And this is hard for me to admit, but I relate to that aspect of young Shauna so hard. And it's probably one of the reasons why I consistently feel the need to defend Shauna, is because I have felt that way in my life as well, where I'm like, why isn't anybody just choosing me for leadership based on how obviously awesome I am? And as an adult, I have come to realize that, like, if you don't say, "Hey, I want to be the leader," or, "Hey, you guys, this is why I think I'd be good at this," no one's going to necessarily notice your internal awesomeness,
But right? also, people do get chosen to be the leader for the wrong reasons frequently.
All the time. Yes. All the time. It doesn't mean that you're not awesome. It just means that for whatever reason, somebody else was catching people's attention. And if you don't do work to make yourself noticed, then you're not going to catch their attention. And Shauna seems to think that people should just know she's great. And I don't know if she is great or not. I don't know if I'm great or not. But I know that I have felt that way in the past. And it took me many, many years to realize that that was self-defeating. And it does make me hard relate to Shauna.
But Penny, you are great.
Aw, you thank are. You. I wasn't fishing for compliments, but I'll take them. Thank you.
I think, too, though, Shauna may think that she's putting herself out there and showing how great of a leader she can be. But people aren't noticing, and that's bothering her. Like, how do you not notice everything I've done, even if she's done nothing except eat Jackie's ear? I mean.
And, like, learn to use the knife. That doesn't make you the leader.
No.
That just makes you a useful member of the team. But I think she's lived in Jackie's shadow her entire young life.
Yes.
And she's tired of not being chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought that finally with Jackie dead, this was her chance to shine. She always thought Jackie was the reason that no one noticed her. And now Jackie's gone and she's still not being picked.
Mm-hmm.
She's angry. I think it's dark. It's some real darkness going on with Shauna.
It is. I think
Jason and I were arguing offline about Shauna at one point, and he was like, she's a bad person. And I was like, morally gray. And he's like, that's a really generous description of Shauna. And I was like, I can't help it. I identify with her.
Well, I mean, you can look at it as, well, she's not a good person or she's not a nice person. Look at what they went through in the woods. Now, it's no excuse, but my God.
Yeah.
Of course she's messed up. I mean, of course she's going to be messed up. They're all going to be messed up based on what happened.
I mean, she lost a child that she has to know that if the plane hadn't crashed, I mean, her child may have survived. I mean, certainly would have had a better chance.
I wonder if she would have gotten an abortion, though. If she was, you know, 17 or 18 and had Brown in front of her, I don't think she would have kept that baby.
Right. And I just think the whole experience is so traumatizing that I can't imagine what that's done to her.
And what it did to her when she did eventually have Callie, how was that pregnancy and how were the early days of Callie's life? Like, we've seen Callie as a snotty teenager, but she must have had the most weird parenting experience from Shauna.
And like, I should.
Yeah.
Now is a good time to point out Sarah Desjardins has been upgraded to a regular cast member for this season.
I'm so excited. I think she's so talented. She's Callie great. Is fascinating.
I remember not liking her at first, but last season, and given what we saw in this trailer so far, I am really excited for potentially we get to see more of the Shauna Callie interaction and bonding. And I think that they trusted Callie with a lot last season, and I'm hoping that Shauna continues to open up to her about the things that happen, because I think it will go a long way to mending their relationship with each other.
Yeah, I think so too. And we're going to see Callie, she's going to find out about, you know, the baby that her mother lost, and she's going to have her own grief to deal with of like, I had a sibling and it was a full sibling because it was Jeff's as well, right?
Like, yeah.
And, you know, Jeff has known about this for 16, 20, whatever, however many years, and not ever told Shauna that he knew. So now this is his opportunity also to grieve openly for that lost baby.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
And it may help Shauna be able to let go of some of that, you know, anger and sadness that she has, because I think she's probably felt like she's carried this around forever. Yeah. And now she's going to get the opportunity to do that. And the three of them as a family I mean, what we saw when we first are introduced to them is highly dysfunctional and crazy.
Yeah.
And now I feel like they're bonding and pulling together in ways that they didn't have the opportunity to do before.
I think Callie's sort of whatever mom teenagerness was in large part to feeling like her mother was never honest with her. She had to know on a deep level that her mother had tons of secrets. Even when she was a baby, know that her mother was not telling her things or not sharing herself with her, and was, in order to keep all this trauma tamped down, Shauna has probably gone through life largely dissociated, and a child would have felt that. And so she's probably resented her mother deeply for many, many years for being like, you're not even really here, you know? And this is this opportunity now that she knows some of the secrets for them to have it's almost like a brand new relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also like, hey, your mother is somebody with a past, somebody who made mistakes, who was flawed, who had extreme trauma, love, all of these things. And
but
a
also
lot of times teenagers
a badass.
Yeah.
Right?
And teenagers don't look at their mothers like that. They just don't.
No. But also, like, she's going to come to respect her mother and be like, wow, you butchered things and, you know, you chopped up a body and hid it in the woods. As bad as that is, it's still kind of badass. And a teenager is kind of dumb enough to find that something to respect, right? Like, wow, my mom is capable of so much more than I ever would have thought. She's stronger than I thought. She's not just some, like housewife who's, like, out of it all the time.
And the reasons why, I think she's going to, you know, at least know why her mother kind of kept her here and not here.
Yeah.
Meaning further away and not closer to her heart. I mean, some of it could be out of Shauna's perceived protecting Callie from her, from Shauna's past.
Yeah. I mean, the ultimate protection would have been therapy too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think any of these women have ever opened up to anyone outside the group about what really happened out there. Lottie's mm-hmm. probably the closest. We saw Lottie going to a therapist, right?
Mm-hmm. I think she was make-believe, though.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I'm sure Lottie has had therapy, though.
Yeah.
But we see in the past timeline, we see another dark forest scene. It's hard to make out who's there. It appears to be like most of them in some sort of they're holding like light sources. I'm assuming some kind of candles or something like that, looking intense. And like you said, Daphne, some kind of wooden gavel that I guess they're using for, I don't know, town meetings.
Yeah, this was before Survivor, so they wouldn't have called it Tribal Council, but
yeah.
That's what it looked like.
And in the background of that scene with Shauna challenging Nat, is you can see there's like a teepee type of structure made of wooden branches. I'm guessing that's their new shelter. We see a scene where Misty appears to be in a kitchen of some type and appears to stab Shauna in the back.
Yes.
But I figured that was just a vision.
Me too. Like, yeah. I'm not sure. I slowed that down and watched it a couple of times to try to figure out if it was the same scene or different scenes, because it looks like Misty's at work and grabbing a knife
scrubs.
At work. She's in scrubs. But
it looks like an industrial kitchen, not a
home
kitchen.
And then when it shifts to Shauna, she looks like she's in her home kitchen.
But it definitely looks like Misty stabs her in the back. So
yeah.
I hope that's a vision, because I don't want to lose Melanie Lynskey from the show.
No, definitely do not.
And I don't think they would do that.
She's such a breakout hit right now. And yeah, they wouldn't want to lose her unless they had to. There was a bunch of cool adult Misty stuff. She's like examining the paper with a flashlight. She's burning a photo. But the part that really intrigued me was we see her in this like dank underground tunnel. And I was like, is that the tunnel that Lottie saw in her vision?
I wondered about that.
And it's got crime scene tape there.
Yeah.
It looked like a basement to me, but
it definitely looked underground of some kind. And it was like, it had that
there
dank,
were stairs
like,
behind her.
Damp feeling that Lottie's Dark. Vision had.
And the photo that Misty is burning looks like it's the picture of them from their reunion.
Oh, interesting. I couldn't tell what it was. That's interesting.
So I don't know if they had a falling out.
And or if it's angry, like a ritual of some kind.
Yeah,
because
I don't know.
Natalie died at the very end of season two, and we know that Misty considered Natalie her best friend. So all of them are going to be mourning Natalie, but Misty is going to be mourning her the most, right?
And Misty is also kind of indirectly responsible for Natalie's death.
Oh, completely. Yeah. She killed her.
She did.
And so she's going to be the most messed up about it. And she might need to do some kind of ritual to get past it. I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Yeah.
We also have a weird scene of her pulling some kind of mask or hood over her face.
Yeah.
Didn't know what that was.
That was strange. And we got one shot of Walter.
Yes.
And he looks like he's posing as like a bellhop or something. He had a vest with a name tag.
And he looks like he's in a hotel.
Yeah. So he's undercover doing something nefarious, Walter-ish.
Yes. Right. Always.
I'll never get over the way he killed Kevin with like barely a change in facial expression. That was so cold.
Yes. Yes. And shocking.
I have recently rewatched Fellowship of the Ring and I kept being like, that's Walter. He's Frodo Baggins. And it was really freaking me out.
Again, such a great casting choice for Walter. Because
I mean, Elijah Wood. Yeah, he's iconic.
Elijah Wood is someone that we look at as being angelic and, you know, from movies where he's a hero. And
he has played a creepy villain a few times. Yeah.
He definitely has. He was in Sin City.
That character was so disturbing.
So disturbing. So I think this is not outside the realm of what he's able to do, but I'm interested in what kind of things Walter gets up to this season.
Yeah, I really loved the addition of Walter in season two. I thought he was so interesting and such a great foil for Misty.
Yes.
Yep. We see a scene with Coach Ben, quite grizzled. So it looks like some time has passed since the first scene we see him with the wire noose. His hair's real long and he's quite disheveled and looks pretty crazy. And he's screaming, are you hearing this? What is happening? And then we see his face later in a minute millisecond scene of him just like kind of screaming and losing it.
Yeah, he's like, wow.
I can't believe
he's lived this long.
Yeah, I think Coach Ben's going to make it through the winter based on just the snare picture.
I hope he never dies. He went from being like the least interesting character to one of the most interesting characters to me in season two.
Well, burning down the house.
Yes.
Like he looks at them as pure evil. I think seeing Javi's dismembered body was the push over the edge, and he realizes none of them are redeemable. And then Natalie kind of being promoted to leader and not wanting to run off and hide with him.
Yep.
I think that was the last straw for him. I think he just said, okay, they're all gone.
Yeah.
Nobody's left. That tension that they've set up for season three, and I just can't wait for it.
Yeah.
I really want to spend more time in his cave lair place because that's where I think that this other person that I believe is in the woods is going to be found. So I'm hoping that we get to meet that person.
I'm here for it.
I think there's something out there, whether it's a person or some sort of spiritual entity. I have no idea, but I'm all in on whatever we're going to see from that.
And that's who I think he was talking to when he was like, are you hearing this? Is like this like outside person or spirit or whatever.
Yeah.
I imagine what he's hearing is them howling or like while they're hunting outside, and he's like, yeah. This is terrifying.
I don't blame him. They started with the howling before. Like the howling was when they were chasing Natalie.
Yeah, it was really scary.
There are a lot of little quick scenes of things where people are, it looks like someone's biting a hand.
Yeah.
They're grabbing a leg.
At one point they're holding someone's head down. Somebody's holding.
It looks like Mari's head. Yeah. Down to the ground.
Shauna is fighting with somebody. I thought it was Melissa.
It is Melissa. She's holding
a knife to her.
Yeah. There's also in the Valentine's Day reveal trailer, there was one little different scene that's not in this one where two fully masked, like fur masked people were arguing and one is holding a spear up to the other up against a tree. I have no idea who is who.
Wow.
They've made very sure that you can't tell who it is. At least in my opinion, you can't tell who it is.
Yeah, there's going to be a split.
Oh, yeah.
But we've thought that from the beginning, that at some point they're going to split into two groups and fight against each other.
Yeah.
We see Shauna swimming in the lake with a beautiful view of the mountains behind her. And then it seems like something pulls her under.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a big question. What's the obvious question? Where is Travis?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know.
He's not in any of the scenes at all.
No, I didn't
see him.
But
we know he makes it out of the woods.
Yeah.
Because he's alive in the present day at the beginning.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So he's in it. Why aren't they showing it?
I don't know, because he's been on the press tour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen him in pictures on some of the press tour. So, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the biggest question for me.
That's a very curious absence from
trailer. Like, was the actor doing something else and he wasn't in as many episodes? Is he, like, hiding by himself so he's not in as much? Or is it just tactical and, you know, they want us to question?
Or focus on the girls.
Yeah.
Maybe his character tries to hike out to get them rescued, like Ty did that one time. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. I mean, him and Coach Ben are the only males left.
Yeah.
And Coach Ben, we know, seems to be off by himself.
Yeah. On a side note, Paige and I covered Teacup.
Oh, yeah.
On Run for Your Lives. I knew I had seen the actor before, but it didn't hit me until I actually went to look it up. But Luciano LaRue, who played Javi, plays a character in Teacup. But he's so much older.
Yeah.
Like, he just looks so much older.
Yeah, it took me a couple episodes to figure out who he was on that series. I was like, I know that actor from somewhere. And then it hit me and I was like, he's huge now.
Yeah. He's really grown.
It's good that they killed him off on the show, because it would have been like really weird to see him towering over the rest of the actors. Be like, how did you grow so fast with no food out in the woods?
That's the thing, when you have a young cast and younger characters, you kind of have to either film things back to back so that they don't grow too much. It makes me think of Lost with Walt. He was such a little kid, but like by season two, he had grown so much that
they basically just wrote him off the show as a result. Yeah. And I was always sad. I was like, I liked having Walt in there. But it makes it hard to ever have child characters on any kind of series.
I've been watching Yellowstone, and they have the one son's child, Tate, who I think two seasons ago was like 10, and now he looks like he's 32.
Yeah. And I mean, the Stranger Things, there's so many memes about it, but the Stranger
Yes.
Things cast are all like, they're all like married and stuff now. They're
Yeah.
all total adults still playing like high school freshmen. And I'm glad that they're on their
Yeah.
final season because it's getting ridiculous.
And the girls in this show are, you know, getting into their mid to late 20s, right?
Yeah.
Most of them.
They are.
Yeah.
And they're getting married and
having babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't really with a straight face.
Girls can get away with it more, but yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that they were all 16, 17, 18 at the characters at the beginning helps. When you start with the characters being like 12, it's a problem.
Yeah. It is, especially if you're only going year to year with no time jumps.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't explain why suddenly they've hit puberty and they look like adults and they're only supposed to be 13.
It's the Carl Grimes problem, right? Like,
yeah.
He went from being like 8 years old to looking 16 in the course of what should have been a year.
Mm-hmm. And the problem, too, is with some of these shows, there's the writer's strike kind of put things off for a couple of years, like helping the, you know, which I'm not down. I'm not saying anything bad about the writer's strike because I think it was important.
Yeah.
But
it has
things
this effect.
It has an impact. And so I would love for there not to be such gaps, even when there's not anything prohibiting them as far as like strikes or whatever, for shows to get more in a rhythm versus coming out every 2 years, because it's really hard to stay connected to characters when you have to wait so long for another season to come out. That doesn't happen with like network TV series because they shoot a number of episodes every year and it's like people know that it's coming and they have their schedules accordingly. But they're working around so many different schedules to try to make it work.
Yeah. I think about how in the 80s, there were two different shows that had little kid characters played by adults who had like dwarfism, right? Webster and Different Strokes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And how rare it is to find an actor who can look like a little kid for, you know,
mm-hmm.
and not age for decades. But also how exploitative those shows were of those two actors.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not the solution.
I mean, it just wasn't good for child actors at all back in the day.
No, there were was a lot of exploitation.
Hundreds of years ago, they dealt with this problem by castrating young males who sang, right? It was like, oh, we don't want you to lose your voice, so we'll castrate you so you'll always be a soprano because it's so beautiful. I mean, horrible.
I didn't know that. And that's insane.
Oh, yeah. They were called castrati. Yeah. And it was really big in Italy. It was like a thing. And they were these celebrated celebrity singers, but like their entire future was determined because they had a good singing voice as a child and they didn't have any choice.
That's crazy.
So one other thing I wanted to point out, there is this voiceover of Van saying the only people who know about this are either us or dead.
Yep.
And this is when we get this, during this little voiceover, is when we get the girls, we talked about this a few minutes ago, with their white robe type things and the fur and the hoods are up. It seems like they started this by just putting the hoods up, like to cover their faces. And it like grew to be something more out of that. Mm-hmm. But they're walking around Lottie and they're forming this circle. And then we see during this also Teen Shauna with a knife. And this is also when Misty's going to the basement with her flashlight,
mm-hmm.
like her cell phone is a flashlight.
And is the person that's writing the letters the new character that's introduced? I think there's still a lot we won't know.
Yeah.
Is there someone who they think died who didn't die?
Right.
Like, what's her name who fell off the cliff?
Yeah.
Although Misty hid the body, right? Misty would have checked to make sure she was really dead. Remember, she hid the body so that they wouldn't eat her?
Yeah. But I thought she went back and the body wasn't there.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I need to rewatch.
I thought she was searching for the body for that very reason. So they wouldn't go find her. Either to hide it from what happened or so they wouldn't eat her. But then the body was gone. So
that's right.
Yeah.
So that person, Crystal, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance, I guess, that Crystal survived. And
maybe.
It's hard to rule out anything.
Yeah.
This, because there just seems to be this supernatural element, it really is hard to know. And honestly, what you see taking place in the wilderness, it's hard to tell what's real, because sometimes it can be, I mean, I do have to wonder now if they're having hallucinations.
Yeah. And I mean, and Lottie has visions, and and all of them have had various like nightmares and visions and things. Like Ty, you know, goes into these like fugue states or switches personalities or whatever it is that happens to her. And so we can't even trust anything that we see, especially in a trailer like this where it's all cut together. It's like,
yeah,
like, every single one of those scenes could have been like a dream sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. This really got me into it. I will say, like, I mean, you never know, but on IMDb, it does show that there will be 10 episodes. So that's exciting because we only had 9. I want as many as I can get.
Yes. Yep.
So
they are showing the first 2 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
They're releasing those together. So that makes me wonder, is episode 2 ending in a cliffhanger and they want to make us like
wait,
or is episode 1 do they really feel that the 2 episodes need to be viewed like one right after the other? Because I do think that the showrunners think about stuff like that.
Yeah, I think
like
so too.
Like the impact that a show can have. And part of me feels like we need to have a death draft for who we think is going to die this season, because I'm just not sure. But I kind of want to try to like guess.
Yeah.
But then I'm just kind of like, I don't know. But whatever the crazy ride is, I'm ready to get my ticket.
We had quite
and get
a few
board.
People die last season, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like to try too hard to predict what's going to happen, because then it sort of takes over my viewing and I stop enjoying what I'm seeing because I'm thinking too much about what it might mean. So I'm not going to speculate about who I think is going to not make it out of season 3.
It's best when I just like let it all happen. Like, I feel like that's why I had a much better reaction to people that for the last season of Game of Thrones, because I really was like, I'm just going to let the ride take me. And, you know, so I think having like my favorite character must live ends up you being very hurt.
Yeah, because
so I want to let it
let
it take me where it wants to take me and have trust.
I kind of already lost one of my favorite characters with Juliette Lewis, so
yes.
Now it's Melanie Lynskey all the way, and I'll be heartbroken if they kill off her character. Although it frees up Melanie Lynskey to do other awesome shows, so who knows.
Mm-hmm. I mean I know that Juliette Lewis was talking about how the show was really heavy and causing her to have some issues with that. So I totally hope she finds something that works out better for her.
Yeah.
She's so freaking talented.
Yeah, I love
feel
her
like
so
we,
much.
We got to see a lot of, I mean, this show kind of brought her back to the forefront and put
but
her
I'm
back
not sure
in
that's
the conversation.
Where she wants to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where
it's not like she hasn't had a steady acting career all along.
Right.
But it did put her in the zeitgeist in a way that she hasn't been for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that I really respect her saying publicly what a toll it took on her emotionally to do some of those scenes. I recently listened to an interview with James Marsters, who played Spike on Buffy. Mm-hmm. And there's a famous scene where Spike tries to essay Buffy. And he talked at length about what that did to him and how much he hated acting that scene and how he tried to talk the writers out of it and be like, no, that's not good for my character. And he spiraled into depression and went into therapy from acting out that one scene. And I think awareness about that for actors is important. They need some protections around, you know, having to go to these really dark places and then not having support for it.
Or people treating it like it's nothing. What are you talking? Yeah. You're an actor. Go do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
if they're good, if they're a good actor, then the emotions that they're feeling in that scene are as real as if it really happened.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. I mean, some of these shows that people do has to be really difficult. Like I know, Handmaid's Tale has to be really hard for some of them. And I think one of the ones that we loved dropped out of it, you know, the one who played Emily dropped out of it. And we loved her. She was such a great character. I hope she comes back. But also, like, they have to do what they have to do for mm-hmm. their own.
Yeah, like, protect yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I remember Mandy Patinkin was part of Criminal Minds. He was a great part of Criminal Minds. But he walked away from the show because of it took him to dark places and it just became, you know, too much to be thinking about that. And I think it's great when they speak up and say, you know what, I can't do this. As much as people may enjoy them being part of the show, if you really are a fan of the actor, you have to respect when they say, okay, I need to not do this anymore. It's like if you're in a toxic job, you need to walk away from it before it like consumes your soul.
For good or ill, we all look to celebrities mm-hmm. as models of how to behave sometimes. And when like Simone Biles was like, I can't compete in the Olympics when I'm going through the twisties, and everybody had opinions about it. Lots of people who are not gymnasts had opinions about whether or not she should compete. And I think she modeled an amazing strength and wisdom by not competing when she wasn't up to it and pulling herself out. And I respect her immensely for it. But I also think it started a great conversation
mm-hmm.
about taking care of your mental health so that you can come back and be stronger later.
Yes.
And actors doing it, it's the same kind of modeling that we can all learn from.
Yeah. I think sometimes it takes one person who has a lot of attention to do something and start to normalize the conversations that need to happen. And so I think I'm going to miss Juliette Lewis on this show because she was so fantastic. But I also have great respect for her for doing what she needs to do for herself. And think that we all need to look at that and say, okay, you know, it's okay. Let's normalize it so that we can all look out for ourselves and each other.
Yeah. And I respect the way the writers wrote it in. They made mm-hmm. it, they made her departure have so much meaning when they could have like written her off in a way that showed that they resented her not wanting to be on the show anymore. But instead they gave her this incredibly powerful ending that the rest of the characters are going to have to deal with.
Yes.
This season. And it was kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
I can't listen to that Radiohead song that they played.
I know.
It's too affecting for me right mm-hmm. now. Like I'm still very, like I start crying immediately when I'm listening to it.
So is there anything else that we did not cover in the trailer that you think we need to mention?
I think we covered everything possible.
I think we did too. I do. I think that we did. So I think we should, hold on. Let me get my agenda up. Okay, that's not
You
the
prepared
agenda.
some things for us. We talked about Sarah Desjardins and Hilary Swank.
Yes.
And we also have Joel McHale.
Yeah, isn't that great?
It is, and I can't imagine what role he'll be in, but
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. I loved Joel McHale's recent appearance on The Bear. It showed a very different side of him as an actor, and I'm hoping that he's going to be doing something sort of equally sinister on Yellow Jackets.
He could be a very great nemesis for Walter and Misty. Just saying, I think it could be fun.
Or a buddy.
Yep, or a buddy.
Walter and him could pair up.
He could be like Jeff's brother.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. According to some first look photos, there are two new Yellow Jackets that are going to join the teen storyline. Anissa Harris is going to play Robin, and Silviana Estefanos is going to play Britt. Because think about it, due to the number of characters that, or the number of Yellow Jackets players that were on that plane, we kind of got a few new ones with Crystal, whether or not she's real, who knows. And we got Melissa and Jen last season, so we're getting some other new ones. They've been maybe in the background,
right,
that we haven't seen. It's just because the number of players, like, to do the math and the straight face test, you have to have more people. And I did mention that the role of Jen was recast. Maya Lowe played the role last season. This season, it's Vanessa Prasad, and she looks very similar to Jen. The first look photos I'll go through quickly. And we can put links to this in the show notes. First look photos, the first one is a picture of Thaisa, Van, Jeff, and Shauna, I think, at what is a memorial service for Natalie, adult Natalie. Then there's a faraway shot of Van and Thaisa looking like they're going to kiss. They're not kissing, but their foreheads are touching. Kind of, I think, from that scene that we talked about already. There is a scene where teen Thaisa has a gun, and there are others standing around. I'm not sure who she's pointing the gun at, but it's not Misty or Van or Shauna or Natalie or Melissa. And then there are the new characters. That's kind of what gave it away about the new characters. Then there is a scene where they're all kind of in a circle, and it looks like Van is passing out the cards, which means you know what it means by now. And there are also teepees in the background on that as well. Like, they've made these structures that resemble Indian teepees. Or Native American teepees. The thing that I take from this is it's summer or late spring, and they're still doing this game. It's like, couldn't you have figured out a better way to get food than to try to kill and eat each other? Then there's the picture of Misty in her scrubs burning what looks like the photo from their reunion. There's a picture of Lottie. She's well dressed, and she is standing outside someone's door. There's a picture of Callie and Shauna sitting at a table. Shauna has a glass of wine, and it looks like they're having a discussion. There's a picture of Coach in the spring with his crutches. He's just kind of looking down over a hill. There's a picture of Van and Thaisa, adult Van and Thaisa. Just, it's dark outside, and they're looking at something. And that is it.
It's enough.
It is. I'm super excited, and I feel like us being on here talking about it has made me even more excited.
I agree. forgot how much I enjoy podcasting with the two of you. This is great.
Isn't it fun? I was looking forward to this all week. I'm like, I don't, the prep isn't going to be super hard, but it's just going to be great to have the three of us together.
We talked for an hour before we started recording this.
Yeah,
we did. We had to catch up, right?
Yeah.
And we could easily talk for like three more hours, I think.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And I'm already planning my rewatch. Like it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I rewatched it like last year sometime when I had COVID. I rewatched the whole, but I was also not feeling well, so I don't know how much I really focused. But I'm looking forward to a real good rewatch.
Yeah, me too.
So there was a little bit of news. I have one Entertainment Weekly article to talk about. Co-creator Ashley Lyle says, quote, "There's a little bit of time jump in both timelines heading into the new season. As for what's coming for the teens, let's not forget that last season ended with their shelter burning down." Bart Nickerson says, "I think that people will be surprised by their resourcefulness in the face of their continued survival. Their bigger issue might be political, given that Shauna clearly thought she was going to be named the new leader before Lottie chose Natalie." He said, as Ashley Lyle says, quote, "What we see is a continuation of some sort of some of the tensions and resentments that we're building in season two. And those really play a large part in how the girls continue to interact this season." The article does say one thing fans shouldn't expect. The previously announced bonus episode that was supposed to be between seasons two and three. Lyle says, quote, "The truth is that there is a bonus episode, but we may need to wait a bit longer for it."
Whatever that means.
That's kind of disappointing.
It is, but I'm okay with it because I trust them to do it when it's right.
Yeah. Yeah. They know what they're doing. Yeah. They have a plan. Mm-hmm. So I'll just wait.
And I think it means that it's about something that doesn't need to be put into a specific place in the timeline.
Right.
So that's interesting.
Right.
All right. Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And we'll return around Valentine's Day with our coverage of Yellow Jacket Season 3, Episode 1.
If you want to write in or send us a voice message about it, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
While you're there, be sure to check out our other shows. The most recent show I've been watching is Squid Game Season 2. Yes. I've watched the first two episodes, and Daphne, I listened to you and Jason and David. I thought it was a great podcast, so nice to hear some. I've been listening to the rewatch forever, so I feel like listening to something different is great. And it was great. I really liked the first episode, and I'm looking forward to more.
Yeah, I agree. I listened to it this morning while I was out getting coffee, and I found myself constantly talking to you guys in my car. I was like, oh, I think it means. And then David would be like, I think it means. And I'm like, oh, we agree. That's cool.
Yes. And somehow Facebook, somehow I'm blocked from all group messenger threads that are related to a Facebook group. I don't know why I can't fix it. So now I'm just going to like put people into random message groups because I want to talk about it.
Yep. That's great. That's fantastic.
So if you end up in one of those, I'm sorry, but that's what I have to do.
Totally fine. I just read earlier today that the third and final season of Squid Game is coming in 2025. So they're not going to make us wait a super long time.
That's great.
That's the final season.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really good. That means they're really going to make it good.
And that they have an ending in mind and they're writing to
that's
it,
exciting.
Which is great. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. There is talk that David Fincher, who's an incredible storyteller, is going to create some sort of an English adaptation. Hmm. And I'm kind of like, no...
I don't know. But if anyone could do it, David Fincher's a good choice.
David Fincher can. Yeah, he's great.
I don't know. I'll reserve judgment till it comes out.
Yeah.
All right. That's our show.
Thanks for listening.
Buzz, 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 buzz.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.